StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRadio.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, welcoming another guest from Frankfurt in our series Tech Startups Germany with the European Enterprise Network, Hessen. Hey, Max, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for the invitation. Happy to talk to you today.
Totally my pleasure. As I said, our enabler today is Hessen Trade and Invest and the Enterprise Europe Network. This recording was made possible by Hessen Trade and Invest and the Enterprise Europe Network Hessen. These organizations have made tremendous contribution to helping startup businesses succeed and thrive, providing a range of services from helping to find grants to ongoing partnerships. By taking advantage of these resources, startup companies can network and develop innovative strategies for success on the international stage. The dedicated support of HDAI and the Enterprise Europe Work Hessen is paramount in providing startup businesses with the tools for lasting success. You can learn more in the show notes down here below, wherever you're looking at this or listening to this. For everybody who's watching, it's sorry for the red eye, but allergy season is up on us again. Now that we have everything out of the way, I'm sorry that was a lot of initial stuff. Maximilian, would you like to introduce yourself and how you, an Austrian guy, ended up setting up a AI startup here in Frankfurt?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much. So hi, everyone. My name is Max. I'm 26 and I'm originally from Austrian Vienna, as Sir already mentioned. And yeah, how we came up setting Scavenger here in Frankfurt is actually I was doing an internship already more than a year ago here in Frankfurt, where I fell in love with the city and we got to know the like props on this stage to our very good lawyer, Dr. Jan-Felix Kumka, who was of big help of all the bureaucracy that's going on around founding a startup and who suggested us because we really trusted him to set it up here in Frankfurt where he can be of help the whole time. So yeah, started here and stayed here.
As everybody can tell, not everybody from Austria need to have an accent like Schwarzenegger. I have to admit right now, I do believe his accent is kind of an act that people instantly recognize. Oh, that's him. Kind of yeah. Branding stuff. You studied in Vienna and Bocconi, but what I found very interesting, you have been a professional athlete for some time, according to your LinkedIn profile, which, by the way, we are also linking down here. Can you talk a little bit about that, what you did here and what kind of sports?
Sure, of course, very happy to. So yeah, I was playing hockey from a very young age, actually from 4 years on. And yeah, I went through like on the national level to an international level and was captain of the Austrian youth hockey national team here. Played a couple of European championships, won, I think in the end it was 4 championships of the Austrian in the Austrian level. And yeah, it was a really great time looking back into it. And yeah, I miss it from time to time.
And we're talking about here field hockey, not yes. Ice hockey,
sorry,
right?
We're talking about field hockey. For me, it's always clear, but for someone who didn't play field hockey, obviously ice hockey is the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay. You did a few internships, including at Deloitte, where we did not meet, and you have been at the Financial Times Challenge. What was this all about?
Yes, it was actually a very cool initiative by the Financial Times. Back then, it was supposed to be in London, and luckily, obviously, it was COVID, and I was doing it back from my living room. Nevertheless, the challenge was really, really cool. It was for 3 days on where you had to, basically, the Financial Times gave you the most pressing issues of the time, and you were supposed to build a startup around it that more or less solves those issues. So I would say it was totally cool. You were given experts and access to a lot of knowledge from experts from the Financial Times and could build in a nutshell a startup in 3 days that then got accessed by juries.
What was your startup idea?
Our idea was actually back then, because it was the time a detector that detects particles in the air to make like an early detection system for transmittable diseases like COVID.
I assume it will still be useful in the future. And then you started your own company in January 2020, stopped that and started with Scavenger AI, according to your LinkedIn profile. Can you take us through this journey? Because you stop one company and then you instantly start with another in an AI company. How did you meet your co-founder? How did you get started with the idea?
Definitely. So back then, my background is a bit of a different one. Like, I actually studied business law, which has way more of a law focus than a business focus, which is also the reason why I worked first at Deloitte, because I said I wanted to get a bit of a background more into business, and then also started the first company, which back then was called Walking Art. And it was more, my first steps into entrepreneurship, I would say, together with a colleague of mine, where we saw during COVID that like the art sector is struggling a lot because artists don't have access to art or like to exhibitions anymore and they're art fans. So we said, okay, we're more or less in a nutshell do an online art gallery where they can host online exhibitions and so on, which was very nice. But then I joined because it was actually a case that I was way more interested in the business side, and I joined Bocconi University in Italy to study management there. And as then the work required a lot of personal meetings with the artists, it was a local business focused on Vienna, it was not possible anymore. But luckily, in Bocconi, I met my lovely co-founder, Felix, who is leading the tech part at Scavenger, who I reached out to very, very early on. And he was a fan of the idea. We talked to it a lot. And so over long nights and early mornings, we talked in coffee chats at Bocconi University about it. And in the end, decided to fund Scavenger together.
I see. So basically, you're an Austrian guy and your co-founder is German?
Yes, my co-founder is German. He's from Aachen.
from Aachen and from Austria, and you end up setting up a company in Frankfurt. That is pretty interesting. How did you get started? Can we first talk about what Scavenger does and then how you got the idea to do actually something like that? Because for me personally, to have a business lawyer doing AI is quite a stretch.
Definitely. So Felix and me both, before doing our masters, we worked in big corporates first. And we were basically coming back from our summer internships where we worked in big corporates before, and we saw a problem that all of the companies say that data is super important, yet nobody really likes to deal with it. So you end up that all of the companies have tons of data. They create more and more data every day, but they lack the time and they lack the resources to actually draw any insights out of it. And that was a problem that I'm sure your listeners like also know of. That is really difficult if in a company you have to take a decision, but do not have the necessary insights into your data to actually take that decision. So long story short, we came back from that summer internship. We exchanged on that idea. And luckily got very early on an initial funding. Like, I was still then working at my internship in Frankfurt at a venture builder. We focused on software and AI, where I got more in touch with that. Felix was working before 2 years as a lead in software development. So he also had a bit of more experience in that field. And so Felix built a short POC overnight. We reached out to early investors, got from Cartelligent and Volker Freud and Ash Carver, a very early investor early on, that believed in the idea, where back then it was just Felix, me, and the pitch deck and the POC that he built overnight. And then we quit our jobs because we thought it might make more sense to work on this full time than before work and after work. And here we are.
That is quite interesting. If I wrap it up, my understanding is from what you guys are doing is you have three distinct AI tools that help you analyze data you have from your own company, cleaning up data, doing statistical analysis, and generate an output in simple language. In which languages is this available, and can you take us a little bit through the journey? Is like two of those tools, are they for cleaning, for aggregating data, or how does it work?
Yeah, definitely. So in the end, what we want to do is offer customers a one-stop solution. So they can upload, as you mentioned before, they can upload any kind of data. Any kind of data sounds generic, but it's on purpose. It is generic. So you can imagine you can upload 27 Excels, 3 PDFs, a Word, whatsoever, or connect your company databases to it. Once you've done that, you can ask a very simple question. Like, normally what are you just asking something like, okay, how can I improve my profit? From a user perspective, that's everything you need to do. And then, as you mentioned before, we in the back actually have developed three different AI tools that are connected together in one workflow to solve the problem of the user in less than 10 seconds. But you can also only use one out of the three tools if you want to. And actually very correct. As you mentioned before, the first tool, it all starts with data cleaning, where we have a tool that automatically detects anomalies inside the data sets, also does all of the statistical data cleaning and separates numerical from textual data. Second, we save the textual data. We forward the numerical data to the next tool, which is more or less the key of Scavenger AI, which first has an algorithm that detects based on the question you asked, based on the data that got uploaded, what's the right mathematical numerical test to run. But then we don't stop there. We don't run one. We run like 100 of tests simultaneously, choose the one which has the highest statistical fit. Also save that, where already the textual data is waiting. And lastly, we have an interpretation agent that enriches all of it with industry data, looks at the question, looks at what outcome we've generated, and translates all of it into a nice looking dashboard that answers the question that the user asked before.
That is pretty interesting. How far along are you? You guys just raised, by the way, that was the trigger why we're talking today. You raised 1.1 million euros in pre-seed funding. Investors includes HTGF, the high-tech Gründer Fonds. By the way, everybody who would like to get to know the CEO, down here in the show notes, we link our interview with him, and Calm Storm Ventures from Vienna. So you're in pre-seed. How far along are you, and what kind of data can you work with, and how do your clients look like? Is it like the handyman from around the corner, or is it like the big international banks?
Definitely. So both, actually, all of the options you mentioned below. So yes, all of them, basically. So the way what we say at the moment, we launched our first MVP back in November 2023. And this MVP, we're at the moment trying out and testing out with pilot partners. Why are we doing that? Because we say, okay, we want to be as close as we can in development to our potential and future customers while we already generate from value for them. So actually a win-win situation, ideally. How are our customers look like? I'm actually unluckily not allowed to do some big name dropping here. But we're working with big enterprises, so like the big ones that you actually know, to like the classical SMEs in Germany. And yeah, based on that, because in the end, the software itself is very, very flexible. It's a very mathematical software that with the LLM layer that we put on top, make it accessible for also people who don't necessarily studied statistics or mathematics to understand it. Which then I would say in big enterprises, we always talk to head of departments, and in smaller companies, SMEs, we always talk to the C-level executives. And yeah, because you also asked before, and I totally forgot to answer it, like the software at the moment is available in English, but it's no problem to switch language. It also works in Italian, German, French, and Spanish, if I remember correctly so far. But we're happy to add another language if the language barrier should not be covered by that yet.
Mm-hmm. There is right now a lot of tools out there. There's like a sea of tools in data analytics and AI. How are you guys different here?
Definitely. I mean, we are obviously in a blind. We do look at the competition and we see that it's a very crowded space. Yet one thing we've always tried to mention, and like we really want to live by that, is that in the end, you have a technology, like at the moment, it's artificial intelligence, that you want to use not for the sake of using artificial intelligence, but to actually solve a problem of a user, which in the end is the crucial thing. How you solve it, the user doesn't care. So the way that we say it is like, yeah, we have developed in the end, it's free AI tools that are AI powered, which are at the moment the best possible way to solve the problem for the user. But as described before, we have developed this one-stop solution that is powered by the free tools, where the user literally doesn't have to do anything else than throw all of the data in, ask the questions, and we do all the analytics, more or less like a consulting project on a click for them.
You're not permitted to drop names, but can you drop industries? And what kind of industries are your customers right now working?
Yes, definitely. So we're working a lot in the food and beverage sector. We're working a bit in the sports sector as well, because also there's a lot of data available. And we're working also with the classical, I would say, like, German hidden champions, let's say it like that.
Mm-hmm. Scalability is often a challenge for AI startups. How do you guys plan to scale in terms of operations and infrastructure?
Definitely. So in terms of infrastructure, Felix and the tech team here did a really, really great job and set everything up in a very modular structure. In tech terms, it's called microservices, which allows us to have a very, very scalable approach of the software. Also at the moment, like, which is one other thing of the reasons why we get the cool investment, is that we're really set up for scalability and our costs in that case are very, very low. So that's very nice. In operational levels, like always, it's something you have to do with time. We are going to grow, like with the investments, we're going to grow up to 20 people because obviously operational load is getting heavier, but like we're also covered with the investment to lift that definitely.
Mm-hmm. Talking about investments, after pre-seed, it usually suggests that you want to do a seed round. What are you guys' long-term goals? And when you go to the website, you can basically register to be a test client. Do you have any guesstimate when you'll be open to all clients out there?
Yes, that's a very perfect transition. Love to tease it here at this point. So yeah, actually at the end of Q2 2024, so like in end of June, we're going to launch the whole software live. So from then on, you don't need to be a test partner anymore, which obviously also has its advantages. So if you still want to be a test partner, happy to welcome you. Yet from end of June 2024, the whole software is going to go live. Mm-hmm.
I see. What other plans do you have? We're now drifting a little bit into the Outlook area, in terms of geography, but I would believe everybody from the European Union is pretty safe in throwing your data into the analytics tool because you're based in the European Union. Do you plan to expand for international clients?
Yes, definitely. Like first, great that you mentioned it. Like at the moment, which is very, very important for all our customers that we have so far, is that all our servers, our databases are actually in Frankfurt, in Germany as well, and are 100% GDPR compliant, which obviously is huge. So I would say like also due to, as mentioned before, the language barrier and because we're already set up very, very well in terms of data security, which in Europe obviously is way more protected than when you look to the Asian market or the American market. So I would say like also in case of those crucial issues, we're already set up for expansion here.
Mm-hmm. You already have 4 investors. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, and for most people who are listening to this are wondering, are you open to talk to new investors?
Yes, definitely. I mean, like before the round, after the round and vice versa, I would say. So we're always open to talking to new investors. Actually, like straight after the pre-seed round, straight after the closing, we already went into talks with new investors for the seed round, which I mean, still is far away, like should be closed at the end of 2025. But it's also always great to talk to investors and interesting people during times where there is not the regular fundraising chaos. So yeah, very happy to also get in touch now.
The regular fundraising chaos. Ah, yeah, I see. Usually a lot of people are out here looking for potential employers. Are you guys also looking for new people out there, for new hires?
Yes, definitely. Always like we know that one of the key assets we have at the moment is great people, and our product and our company is only as good as the people that we have on board. So yes, 100%. We are actually trying to, as said before, we're trying to grow from 10 to 20 people this year, meaning that we have still 10 spots available, if you're hearing this. Still, there is a bit of a focus on the tech team, yet we're also slow and steady trying to set up the business side. So actually, no matter which background, we're always happy. We also have a spontaneous application field at the moment on the website. So always happy to receive application from bright people.
Everybody who'd like to talk to you, we do have the LinkedIn profile of you linked in our blog post, as well as your career website in our show notes here. Since this is an interview with Hessen Trade and Invest, you would be, if you would like to address the decision makers here in the state by like one question, one idea for improvement, something like that, what would you say to them? What would be your wish for the future?
Definitely. So first of all, I think that actually there are a lot of cool things going on right now in Frankfurt with the lately founded AI hub, the KI hub, also Hessian AI and so on. Yet I do think that especially in the early stage of a startup, like the less bureaucracy you have, the better. As also in the tech market, speed to market is absolutely crucial. And I remember we were sitting in front of a lot of applications that back then, like it takes a lot of time. You're not allowed to be funded, like officially incorporated back then. So I think those bureaucratic hurdles are quite steep at the moment still. So reducing that and making it actually easier for startups to catch up with competition as fast, because as mentioned before, speed is one of the most important things in during this phase.
Mm-hmm. I see. So get more speed, but I have to admit that would be something I say all over Germany, not sure what they can do about it here. Maximilian, it was again a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for Hessen Trade and Invest and Enterprise Europe Network for sponsoring this podcast. It was a pleasure to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It was really fun.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.